born. His love endures forever. Sing praise. Sing praise.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to be with you in your living rooms this morning for Hamilton Road Baptist Morning Broadcast. I'm going to read from Psalm chapter 98, verse 4. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. I don't know about you, but when I'm at home, sometimes when the service is on, I maybe have a guitar to hand or an instrument or something. So this is your opportunity. We're playing in the KFC, so you're very welcome to join in. We're quite relaxed here, as you can see. So yeah, just pick up an instrument, or if you want to tap the sides of the settee. But whatever you do, make a joyful noise. Just make a joyous noise, all the earth. So let's make a joyful noise together as we worship, and I'll hopefully not hit Connor with the guitar here. Ready?
Boys and girls, today we're going to find out about how Jesus revealed that he was the King of Kings. Now, usually when someone becomes king or queen, they have a coronation. And that goes a little bit like this.
I crown you Queen Elsa of Arendelle.
So, the great thing about Jesus coming as king is that he came to rescue us. He came to allow us to talk to him. Later in the service, Yul and Carly are going to teach us a new song, and it reminds us that we can talk to Jesus, the King of Kings, whenever we want and wherever we want. But first, we're going to watch a video. And this video shows us Jesus revealing that he is the king. But he does it a little bit differently to your typical coronation. Let's see what he does.
Long ago, there was a virtuous young woman named Mary. She was chosen by God to be the mother of Jesus, the one who would grow up to be the savior of the world. While she was pregnant with Jesus, she found out that her cousin Elizabeth was pregnant too. She was overjoyed that they were going to have babies who would be the same age. And so it happened that Elizabeth had John, and Jesus was born soon after. John and Jesus were not just connected because they were cousins. God had a special job for both of them. John's mission was to get the world ready for what Jesus was going to do. When John got older, that is exactly what he did. He began to preach boldly. He told people that they needed to change how they were living. He said, "Get ready. You need to be rescued from your sins, and the rescuer is coming. Stop running from God and run to him." John's message worked. People realized that they did need to be rescued from their sin, and they came from all around to listen to John preach. Many who listened decided to get baptized. So many, in fact, they started calling him John the Baptist. When John baptized people, he dipped them all the way underwater and brought them back up, showing that they wanted to wash away their old way of living and have a fresh start living a life with God. One day, while John was baptizing people in the Jordan River like he normally did, he looked up and saw a man walking down to the water's edge. John could not believe his eyes. It was him, the one he had been telling people about. This was the rescuer. John pointed at him and said, "Look, he's here, the Lamb of God. He is going to take away the sins of the whole world." A hush fell over the crowd. And when they turned around, they saw Jesus walking towards the water. As Jesus got to the edge of the water, everyone watched with anticipation, wondering what was going to happen next. Then Jesus did something that surprised everyone, even John. He stepped right into the dirty Jordan River. Everyone was quiet as Jesus walked right up to John and asked, "Will you baptize me too?" John could not believe what he was hearing. Jesus is the one, the rescuer, he thought. Why is he asking me to baptize him? Should it not be the other way around? John did not feel worthy of baptizing Jesus because he knew this was the Son of God. He looked at Jesus and said, "I'm nothing special. You should be baptizing me." Jesus replied, "This is what God wants me to do." They walked out to the middle of the river, and John baptized Jesus, just like he had done with the others who were now standing on the banks of the river watching. When Jesus came up out of the water, the clouds in the sky parted, and a bright light straight from heaven shone down upon him. The Holy Spirit of God came down like a beautiful white dove and landed gently on Jesus. Then everyone heard a loud voice boom from the sky. It was the voice of God the Father, and he said, "This is my Son. I love him and I'm proud of him. Listen to what he says." Everyone in the crowd saw this happen, and they heard what God said about Jesus. They knew in their hearts that the words John had been preaching were true. Jesus really was the one who came to rescue the whole world. For Jesus, getting baptized by John proved his obedience to his Father. and it showed everyone that he was willing to do anything that God asked him to do. Because Jesus was willing to do this, God knew that one day soon he would be willing to fulfill his ultimate purpose, to lay down his own life to save the entire world.
Oh, good morning. We thought this morning we would do a very old song that I learned in Sunday school when I was a little girl, many, many years ago. But I actually still sing it quite a lot around the house, still to this day, and quite often when I'm putting ribs to bed at night, actually. But I think no matter if you're a child or an adult, this is a really beautiful song. So I hope you enjoy it this morning.
Well, it's great to have Stuart Burnham with us this morning. I'm going to let Stuart introduce himself to us. So, Stuart, you're very welcome. Tell us a bit about yourself and your family.
Hi, Keith. Yep, thank you for the invite today. And for those of you who don't know me, I'm a local fella. I've always lived around the sort of North Down Arts area. And I'm married to Lorna, and our 19th anniversary is coming up. So rather muted celebrations this year, but anyway. And we have three kids, Reuben and Bradley and Tololi, and they're 16, 13 and 6. So plenty of fun in our house, as you can imagine.
I can imagine. And I've seen some of the fun lessons have come in there. Hamilton Road, and it's been great to have you at Hamilton Road Baptist in recent years. Tell us a bit about life before coming to Hamilton Road.
I become a scientist in the Ulster Hospital, and after that went to the Baptist College, then assistant pastor in Newton Arts Baptist for 2 years, a brief stint as a missionary in India, then pastor of Cumber Baptist for 7 years. And then, unfortunately, there was a bit of a full stop in the ministry because I had a heart attack. And yes, I know I look a bit too young to be having a heart attack. That's what everyone in the cardiac ward said. And but it didn't kill me, so that was pretty good. And after a bit of a recovery, I decided that I just needed to take a big step back from ministry. And the Lord was very, very good to myself and my whole family. And now he's put us back into ministry, and that's as the Ireland coordinator for Reach Across Missions. So
tell us what is that role, and what tell us a little bit about Reach Across.
Well, Reach Across is a mission that specifically reaches Muslims with the gospel, and also engages in practical service to Muslims as well. Now, as you can imagine, that's mainly in sort of northern African countries, the Middle East, and to a lesser degree, Central and South Asia. So we have quite a lot of missionaries out there, and they're doing great work. But we also have missionaries in the UK and in Germany and in the United States and Canada, all working with refugee Muslims in those countries, and also just, you know, Muslim communities in general. So the mission to Muslims is actually quite an interesting area, because it's not just limited to Muslim majority countries. But Reach Across wanted to appoint someone in Ireland to promote the mission here. So I'm actually the first ever Ireland coordinator for Reach Across. So it's exciting times, new start.
So tell us in your role, Stuart, how are you personally preparing to reach Muslims here, even locally in Ireland?
Well, that's a great question, Keith, because sometimes it's hard to know where Muslims might be. And there are a lot of them who are being helped through refugee work, refugee projects, and one of the main services they offer is teaching English to people as they come into the country. So I'm actually doing a TEFL course, teaching English as a foreign language, and hopefully I'll be able to use that in one of those projects.
And how can others who are listening in find out more about your role and how to support you and how even to get involved if they have a keen interest in this area?
Well, the great thing about Reach Across is that they do have a very good website, and you can find that at uk.reachacross.net, and that'll give you lots of information. And if you want to find out more about the work of Reach Across in Ireland, which is basically me at this point. I was only appointed at the beginning of March. So as soon as I began, the lockdown also began. So I have an email address. It's icontact@reachacross.net. So if you want to send me an email, I can send you prayer letters, newsletters. We also have a facility through give.net.
Great. It's been so good to hear from you, and I know you've got a newsletter coming out so folks can get their hands on that to find out more. And even as we're looking in our service today about the first steps of the King, as we see the baptism of Jesus, it's really his coronation, and it's our hope and our prayer that many Muslims will crown Jesus Lord of their lives, and that they will see him as more than just a prophet, but they'll see him as the very Son of God who came to rescue them. So thanks for all that you're doing. Thanks for joining us today, and God bless you as you continue in your role.
Good morning, everyone. The reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 to 17, the baptism of Jesus. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased."
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Holy Father, Righteous Father, Perfect Father, our Father full of compassion and tender mercies, hallowed be your name. We come to you, Father God, in and through the precious name of Jesus, and we pray your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We affirm that the Lord Jesus is the true King of your kingdom, and we are thankful that he came proclaiming the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Father God, may the transforming power of Christ's death and resurrection continue to redeem lives and to restore this broken and sinful world. As citizens called to serve the kingdom of heaven, will you fill us each one with your Holy Spirit, that Christ may reign in our hearts and that our lives will reflect your likeness to all those in our circle of influence. Sovereign Lord, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May your good and acceptable and perfect will be done. You are a God of mercy, truth, and justice, and we pray today against all form of racism, sexism, and any form of abuse. And we ask our God for your healing, comfort, and strength to fill all those in need and all those grieving loss. May your justice prevail. You are our provider, God, and you know us by name. And we come to you today asking for the provision of our daily bread. We pray especially for those experiencing poverty, unemployment, homelessness, or any type of destitution. Enable us, your people, to help supply what those in need have in these strange and uncertain days. In the battle against sin, we come honestly before you today, confessing our need for your forgiveness and cleansing. Gracious and merciful Father, forgive us our debts as individuals, as families, as communities, and as a nation. Equip us by your Spirit to forgive those who have sinned against us. Father God, lead us not into temptation and deliver us from the evil one. All-powerful God, may we daily clothe ourselves in the armour that you have provided, and may we be filled with your strength in order to stand strong and firm in this spiritual battle. and we acknowledge before you that yours is the kingdom, a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Yours is the all-sufficient power. Yours is the glory forever and ever. Amen.
There's one thing for sure, and that is that we all have opinions. Opinions can be shared around the dinner table. Opinions can be shared online. On Twitter, every day, there are 400 million tweets, all filled with opinion. On Facebook, there are 5 million likes per minute on posts, showing your opinion to like or dislike something. We all are full of opinions, and particularly whenever it comes to somebody who is to lead us, who we are to follow, whether that be a new coach in a sports team, whether that be a new boss in the office, whether that be a new political figure locally, nationally, or globally. We all have an opinion on the candidates, and we all have an opinion on the person who is then elected. And often that opinion is forged by how that person identifies with us. Do they know how it feels to be you? Do they know how it feels to be me? Have they walked in my shoes? Have they walked in your shoes? And it's also based on what other people say about them too, possibly friends or family, their opinions influence your opinion, or possibly the newspaper or tabloids that you read influence your opinion on somebody. And I wonder, as you come today to consider Jesus and the first steps of the King, I wonder what is your opinion of Jesus today? I wonder what has influenced that opinion. How have you come to that opinion? As I ask this question, what do you think of Jesus? Would you let the words of the Bible influence your opinion today? As we look at the baptism of Jesus, would you let this influence your opinion of Jesus? And even as you read on through the Gospel of Matthew, would you let that influence your opinion of Jesus? Because today we're going to see that Jesus does identify with us. And we're also going to see two character references for Jesus as well. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 3, and we're going to read verse 13, as we see that Jesus comes to identify with us. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. Jesus comes to identify with us, and often we relate well to those who identify with us in the workplace, in the sports clubs, in the political world. If somebody knows how we feel, we often give them our photo or our stamp of approval. And here we see that Jesus comes to identify with us. He came from Galilee to the Jordan. But let's stop there and let's rewind. Where was he before Galilee? Where he was born in Bethlehem. But let's even rewind from there. Where was he before then? He was in heaven. He was in glory as the eternal Son of God. God came from heaven, from the perfect relationship that he had with the Father and the Spirit, and he came to earth that we celebrate that very first Christmas, the incarnation of Jesus. He came to put humanity onto his divinity, to walk the roads that we walk, to feel the emotions as a human that we feel, the betrayal, the hurt, physical, emotional, mental, to know how it feels, to identify with us. So as we come to form our opinion of Jesus, let's remember where he came from. He came from heaven to earth. He walked this earth for 30 years, and now we pick him up as he begins his earthly ministry, and he's come from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized. And not only does Jesus identify with us in coming from heaven to earth and walking a life here on earth, but he also comes to be baptized. This is the second way that Jesus identifies with us. See, quite often we ask the question, why did Jesus have to be baptized? Because John, remember from last week, he was preaching and practicing the baptism of repentance. But Jesus, surely the perfect, spotless, sinless Son of God, why did he need to have this baptism? Well, he comes and he identifies and he stands in a crowd of sinners at the side of the Jordan, and he says, me too. Now, he isn't saying that he is a sinner, but he comes to identify with sinners and to be baptized in the Jordan by John. When does you form your opinion of Jesus? Will you let the fact that he comes to earth to identify with you and I, people who have sinned, people who have said, "Saul off God, I'm in charge, no do your rules." You're sought to live lives our own way rather than God's. And Jesus comes and stands with us at the side of the Jordan to identify with us. Maybe today you have gone far from God. The sins that you have committed in your thoughts and your words and your deeds, like me, have been horrendous. Maybe you feel beyond the reach and the pull of God today. But can I assure you that Jesus comes to identify with you? His mercy is more than your sin. Maybe you consider yourself a backslider this morning as you tune in to watch this. Can I encourage you this morning to come and to get right with God? His mercy is more.
Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, you every morn. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. See with the bottom of our soul, our sin.
So we see that Jesus comes to identify with us, but more than that, we're now going to see two character references for Jesus. Firstly, from John the Baptist, and then we're going to see from God the Father. So let's read verse 14 together. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you, do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so, for it is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And then John consented. Now let's recap on the relationship that John and Jesus had. John and Jesus were related. John's mother Elizabeth and Jesus' earthly mother Mary were cousins. They were related. Many scholars think that is cousins. So John the Baptist and Jesus are probably what we'd call second cousins today. Possibly they spent time growing up together. So John and Jesus knew each other. And John, even though he was described as the greatest man born of a woman, even though he was the cream of the crop, when he compared himself to Jesus, who was perfect, he realized he was in no position to baptize Jesus. He realizes that it should be Jesus baptizing him. He says earlier that he's not even fit to carry his sandals, or an expression we use today, to tie your shoelaces. But Jesus says, no, I need to be baptized by you to fulfill all righteousness. As we said earlier, this is Jesus identifying with us. This is Jesus totally fulfilling perfectly the will of God for his life. Jesus was righteous and internal. He was always good. He was right in the sight of God. And as he came to earth, he done everything that he should have done. He fulfilled all righteousness. He fulfilled all the good things that he should have done. And baptism was one of those things. You see, as Jesus came to earth, there was nothing that he should have done that he didn't do. And there's nothing that he shouldn't have done that he did do. He was perfect in every way. And baptism is one of those ways. And we see for 3 years in this public ministry that he lives out under the shadow of the cross that was coming just 3 years later. Right up until the cross. On the cross, Jesus is fulfilling the will of the Father. As John describes him in another gospel account, he says, behold the Lamb of God, he takes away the sin of the world. And that's what Jesus was in his life and his death and his resurrection. A sacrifice, a lamb for you and for me, so that the justice of God could be satisfied and so that we could go free. Isn't this wonderful this morning? As we see John's character reference of Jesus, that he is greater than any man, he is the God man, that he is fully righteous, he is perfect in every way. His record is 100%. And as Jesus goes to the cross, as he dies for you and for me, not only does he take away our sin, but he also gives us his righteousness. Jesus gives you and I his perfect record. As we come to faith, as we experience the salvation that God has to offer, as we are justified in the sight of God, not only is it just as if we had never sinned, but it is also just as if we have always obeyed. What do you think of Jesus? He came to do this for you and for me. Listen to John's character reference. Jesus is perfect in every way. He is holy in every way. Yet he is humble in every way too. And then thirdly, we see the character reference of God. Let's pick it up after that baptism has happened. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened and he saw the Spirit descending like a dove and alighting on him. And the voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. if you're looking for character references, Jesus gets two of the best references here. One from the greatest man who has ever lived, and one from God Almighty. Here we see the Trinity in action. Jesus is perfectly obeying the Father, and the Father sending the Spirit to rest on Jesus. And the Spirit comes on Jesus to empower him for his 3 years of ministry that lie ahead. And we see throughout the Gospels that Jesus is led and enabled and empowered by the Spirit. And then as the heavens are drawn back, we see God speak. And you'll see in the Bible and the Old Testament, only one time does God speak directly from heaven, and that's on Mount Sinai. This is a very rare thing for God to speak from heaven. It was usually through the prophets. And here we see God giving his affirmation to Jesus. This is somewhat like the coronation of Jesus to be the king of the new kingdom, to be the king of the kingdom of God. And here we see God say three things about him. Firstly, that he is his son. Here God is affirming that Jesus is not just another man, but he is the Son of God. He is a divine God-man, fully God and fully man. Secondly, he is saying that this is his son whom he loves. Jesus here knows and has confirmed that he is loved by the Father. What he has known for all eternity has been confirmed here before his 3 years of ministry. With all that is the lie ahead of him, and with the judgment and justice that he has to face on behalf of you and I, believe he'll always remember these words of God, whom I love. And thirdly, with him, I am well pleased. Jesus, as he lived on earth, as he went through this act of baptism, he pleased God because he was obedient to him. And throughout his years of ministry and to the cross, everything that Jesus done was pleasing to God the Father. And particularly on the cross, as he went there to be a substitute for you and for me, that pleased God because God's rescue plan was completed. The way was made open for you and I to come to God through Jesus. And that pleased God. And these words that God speaks from heaven are really taken from two Old Testament passages, from Psalm 2 and Isaiah 42. Two very different passages that I'll just touch on briefly. Psalm 2 is known as a royal psalm. It talks about a king that was going to come. And here Jesus comes as a king that fulfills this psalm ultimately, but also fulfills Isaiah 42 that talks about a suffering servant who is to come as well. These two passages have never been put together before. And yet here we see the king who is also going to be the servant. He's going to come to rule and to reign. But he didn't come to earth to be served, but he came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. What an amazing king Jesus is. As you hear this passage again, would you let it influence what you think of Jesus? C.S. Lewis famously has said that Jesus is either a liar, he is a lunatic, or he was Lord. I wonder today, where do you put Jesus?
Forever, one day he's coming.
buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified.
Thank you for joining us again today, and a big thank you to everyone who took part. Please do tune in with us again next week, and also please do get in touch if there is anything in today's service that you'd like to talk through with somebody. We would love to hear from you. And remember, we'll be live again tonight at 7 when Pastor Johnny will be delving into the Beatitudes, and he'll be looking at the first Beatitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So that's at 7 p.m. tonight on YouTube and Facebook. But for now, let's close in prayer. Dear God, we praise you for being our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we also praise you that you humbled yourself and came amongst us to draw us to you. Thank you, Lord, for sending your Son, Jesus, and showing such sacrificial love to us. Lord, be with us as we go this week and help us to live for you and to love like you. For we ask all this in your name. Amen.